church family. Come on, let's stand up across this room. The presence of the Lord is here today. I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night. And you showed up and patched me up like you do every time. I get amnesia. I forget that you keep coming right. Yeah, ain't no way you'll ever let me down. Good God Almighty. Gonna be there every day. So what on earth could make me be afraid? Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. Cause I know where I'd be without your mercy. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Gonna praise his name forever. Hallelujah. We praise you in this place, oh God. Found a place where forgiveness and joy abound, where one endless song resounds, how great you are. A place where the word brings life, a place full of hope, where faith will rise and worship breaks through the night. How great you are.
Come on, everybody, lift it up.
This house will be a house of praise. With hands held high to bless your name. Jesus Christ, our shadows flee. A place of redemption and victory. And here every eye will see how great you are.
Well, good morning, Prestonwood. We have 10 coming following Christ in baptism this morning, and this is Bryant Forsey. He's going to be helping me because we have several junior high students that are being baptized this morning. We love the Rumsey family, and this is Tessa Rumsey.
This is Harbor Simon.
Because of each of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Kim Anderson.
And this is his daughter, Elizabeth Anderson.
Because of each of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I did it.
This is Victoria Bueno.
And this is Lynn Wiseman.
Because of each of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Maya Yap.
And this is her sister, Kayla Yap.
Because of each of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hello. This young man is Derek Fobbs.
This is Ethan Schleyer.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Oh, it's so beautiful to celebrate that each and every week. We get to celebrate those who have responded to the call of God on their lives. And that call goes out to you today. We are so glad that you are with us today. If you're our guest today, we especially want to welcome you here at Prestonwood. We're just one big family. And you might have questions about children's ministry or student ministry, all the things, the life group ministry, which makes this big place really small, where places where you can connect and grow in community. If you have any of those questions, be sure and go to Guest Central as you leave today. Or you can text the word guest to 74788. The word guest to 74788, and somebody will reach out to you, and you can connect there as well. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year, if not my favorite week of the year. It's Thanksgiving week. And it goes beyond the amazing pies that my wife bakes. God has given her a great gift in the baking of pies. It's already begun, and I'm so thankful for that. But more than that, you know, the scriptures tell us in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. We've already sung that this morning. We've sung, this house is yours, Lord. I hope you're singing that over your house. This house is yours. It's interesting. I did a little word study. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Do you know what that original word is? It's todah. Say that with me. Todah. It means a sacrificial praise, or it actually also means an extended hand to give thanks for what God will do, what you're expecting and hoping for Him to do. It's not just a thanksgiving for who He is and what He has done, but it's a complete act of trust to say, I'm going to praise You even when I don't know what's coming, because I know You're going to work everything for good. Some of you have come in today expecting and hoping that God's going to do something good, that He's going to make something good out of the brokenness, and we can say He is faithful and He will. So today, as we enter His gates with thanksgiving, why don't you stand together? Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. This is Your house today, and we desperately need to meet with You. Would you come and change us? We come to give you thanks and praise for who you are, for our salvation, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, and for how you work in our lives, even when we don't understand or can't see it. We know that you're working all things for our good. So I pray for every individual in the sound of my voice today, every family, every house that's represented here today, that they would sense your smile over them today. They would sense your presence with them right here today. We give thanks this day and every day. You're a good and faithful God. And everybody said, amen.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Take a seat, please. I know that's your prayer as well as your praise today to sing of the goodness of God. God is good, and He does good, and He works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It is so good to see you. It's good to be in God's house and this place of worship and to join you along with those online, as Michael Neil mentioned earlier. And yes, let me say happy Thanksgiving to everyone in advance. I assure you we will be praying for you and thanking God for you for the privilege of being your pastor here at Prestonwood. Greatest people on earth, Prestonwood. If you're online or if you're watching PowerPoint television, come and see us sometime. The great, great people here at Prestonwood. We would love to have you. I understand there are actually some friends from Sarasota, Florida, come down here to see us all the way. So who watch us either online or PowerPoint. So God bless you. And let me also encourage all of our guests to go to Guest Central, pick up a copy of my book on prayer, and encourage you to go by and get the information about our church. At this time, this season of the year, you know, Thanksgiving, that word giving is in it, and it reminds us that God has given, and therefore we give back. Jesus said, it's more blessed, happier you, more blessed than to give than to receive. And so whether it is our regular giving throughout the year, supporting our ministry budget, which makes everything, it's the motor that makes everything else run, all about reaching people for Christ, fulfilling the mission of the church. And then we are also giving a mission offering, and you can give to our mission offering all year long. It's a special designated account that we keep. But at this time of the year, these next month or so, we're going to be receiving a very special mission offering, our global mission offering. It supports our local work, our national and international missions. And we have a number of partners, in fact, over 25 partners. And this is a really good thing to do, is to put it up on the screen, all these various icons of the ministries that we support. And many of these ministries grew up right here at Prestonwood, out of the heart of our church, because our people felt called to start mission opportunities. We are a Southern Baptist church, so we happily support the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. In fact, because we had some surplus last year at the end of 2020, we were able a couple of months ago to give $1 million in support of the largest missionary force in the world, which is the International Mission Board. And so that's already at work, but we want to do more, of course. And so whether it is local, supporting our pregnancy center and its ministry, PowerPoint's a part of our mission offering, our television, radio ministry, our partners with medical teams and professionals, and down in the Amazon, and building bridges in South Dallas, and all the things that we're doing. So when you give to this mission offering, this is what it supports. And you're always so faithful to give, but I think you like knowing that when you give something, it's really going to something that makes an eternal difference in people's lives. So let me just ask you to give the most generous gift you can. Deb and I this week already sat down and conversed about our gift to the mission offering. I assure you we will be giving, and I encourage you to give as well. So let's bow together in prayer and commit these ministries and missions that we support to the Lord. You may not know them or know of them, but there's some wonderful people that are serving the Lord, some in very difficult, even dangerous places. So pray for our missionaries and our missionary personnel, our own members who join in partnerships to go help our network churches. Prestonwood has a network of churches, young pastors, church planters. And so pray for all of these, and continue to do that, if you will. Put this on your prayer list over these next weeks. Always pray for those who serve the Lord, those that we send. And then pray that God would give you the ability and the generosity to give the most generous, sacrificial gift you can. We're going to be probably, most all of us are spending more money than we have on Christmas gifts and all kinds of things at Christmas. And that can be fun. It can be good. But let's put the Lord first in all things. Amen. Lord, we give these offerings to you. We thank you for these mission opportunities, for these that we send who serve you around the world, across our city, in our neighborhoods, and the nation. So, Lord, help our church to always be responsive. Help us individually to always be good stewards of what you have given to us. We want to be a blessing to others because we know it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you, Jesus, that we have such a wonderful message to share, to talk about you, to sing about you. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for the promise of your soon return, because our lives look forward to seeing you, Jesus, Jesus only. Amen and amen.
Only Jesus, who gave battered death to make us new. Only Jesus.
Come on.
Who shall return?
That Jesus is our Savior, our Lord, and we want everyone to know Him. So take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. And the title of this message is Too Good to Keep. At this time of the year, down here deep in the heart of Texas, we have birds flying south. I enjoy seeing them come through. And I heard about a bird, though, that was a little late getting down from Canada. Winter had already come, and he was late getting down south. So as he's flying, he's freezing up. He's getting very, very cold. And so finally, he's just absolutely freezing. He can barely flap his wings and fly south. And so he says, I've got to get some warmth. And so he sees down in Iowa somewhere, a barn, and so he just swoops down and finds his way into this barn, and already he's being comforted by the warmth, and he gets under the hay in the barn, and he's just snuggling. He's shivering, but he's warming up, and he's feeling so good, and he's feeling so very happy. And about that time, a cow in the barn comes over and puts a big plop right on him. But he didn't care because it was warm and he was having a great day and he's happy. So he's so happy that he sticks out his head and he just starts singing at the top of his voice, as loud as he can sing. Singing away. And a cat in the barn heard him singing and came over and picked him up and ate him. Now, there are three lessons, three morals in this story. Number one, not everyone who plops on you is your enemy. Number two, not everyone who picks you up is your friend. And number three, if you're having a good day, keep your mouth shut. Well, I hope you're having a good day, but the fact is we can't help but sing, we can't help but shout, we can't help but say Jesus is Lord, and we are excited, and in fact, this message of salvation in Christ is too good to keep. And so that is the message today. Beginning in verse 1 of Romans chapter 10, and I'm reading today from the New Believer's Bible, New Testament, the New Living Translation is what we give to new believers here, and anyone who wants to know more about Christ, all you need to do is go to Guest Central in the atrium, and if you're online, and we do welcome everyone online with us today, you can also just let us know. Just go to 74788, text in Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, and if you'd like a Bible, let us know. We'd love for you to have one. The generous giving of the people of Prestonwood enables us to do things like this, so we would love for you to have. But I'm going to read from the New Living because this is a familiar passage to many longtime Christians, so I want to give it a fresh look, and also just to use some language that everybody is going to understand. Verse 1, Romans 10. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with Himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law, that is, rejecting Jesus, the way of salvation, and keeping the law as the means of salvation. Verse 4, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law has given. Jesus fulfilled the law. He points everything in the Old Testament, all the law, the sacrificial system, the temple, the worship, all the feasts and festivals, all point to Jesus Christ. He fulfills it all. And as a result, all who believe in Him are made right with God. Then scroll on down to verse 8 of Romans 10. In fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. Verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by the believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in Him will never be disappointed or disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. That is, the gospel's for everyone. They have the same Lord, only Jesus, who gives generously to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be, say it, saved. Verse 14. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have not heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes by hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. The passion of the Apostle Paul, the passion of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a passion, intense and intentional, to see people saved. This was Paul's prayer. He said, my heart's desire and prayer is that Israel would be saved. Salvation, saved, is a key, critical, essential word in the gospel, in all of the Bible. I know for some it must sound archaic. Some even mock the idea of, oh, you people say you're saved. And you can go to churches that never speak of people needing to be saved or being saved. I mean, it's just sort of a word that for some reason some have set aside. But this word saved is vital. It is an incredible and beautiful work, because the most important question that any of us can ask is the question, what must I do to be saved? To be saved from lostness, to be saved from judgment, to be saved from sin, to be saved from hopelessness. What must I do to be saved? Because when you get right down to it, there are only two categories of people, two classes of people in all of the world, the saved and the lost. Believers and unbelievers, Christians and non-Christians, those headed for heaven and those headed for hell. I know that's not politically correct to say, but it is biblically correct. I was thinking about the Titanic earlier this morning. I don't know, it came across as I was doing some reading. And, you know, on the Titanic, this big boat at the turn of the 20th century, they said this boat will never sink. In fact, one person said, very foolishly, he said, not even God could sink this boat. And the Titanic on its maiden voyage, filled with aristocratic people, but also, I mean, you saw the movie. I mean, there's Jack and Rose. I mean, you want me to sing the song on the bow right here? No, I'll spare you that. Right, so you saw the movie and all kinds of people on the Titanic. But when the Titanic hit the iceberg and was going down and the lifeboats were out and people were panicking and all the rest, ultimately, aristocratic or not, educated or not, poor, rich, common workers, business people, everybody on that boat, it ends up only two classes. Not first class, second class, third class, but two classes, saved and lost. Those who were saved and those who perished. And that is the fact of the scripture. Life is short, death is sure, and Jesus saves. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 that there is salvation in no one else, because God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be what? Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. No one is made right with God until they are saved. And the only way to be saved is by Jesus. When the angel announced the name of Jesus, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Save. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, this is quoting Jesus, for the Son of Man, the Savior, has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a trustworthy saying. In other words, count on this, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. And Paul added, and I am the worst of them all. So we're all sinners, Paul and all. And we need a Savior. And so Jesus came to be our Savior. I am unapologetically and unashamedly a salvation preacher. As a little boy, God put it in my heart to preach. As a teenager, that was confirmed. And from that day till this day, I've been preaching this message, to preach Christ, to teach the Bible, to serve the church, to reach the lost, to help the helpless and the hopeless, to stand for life and fight for life, and to do whatever it takes to deliver the message of salvation till the whole world hears. That is what God has called me to do. And though we all do it in different ways, he's called you to do it as well. By praying and giving and sending and going, it's the good news of great joy which shall be delivered to all people. It's the message of angels, men and angels. It's the message of the Bible. It's a very simple message. It's a very straightforward message. Because humanity's, our greatest need is this salvation from sin. We all live in guilt and emptiness and loneliness and fear. One thing that happened during these last 18 months or so of the pandemic is it's just exposed all of this in people's lives. But it is Paul's heart, and more importantly, it is the heart of Christ to bring people to himself. And so there are ways that we are to do this. My heart's desire today is that you will be saved. And if you're not saved, in the close of this message, in just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to settle it once and for all and forever, that you would put your faith and trust in Christ and be saved. Sometimes we are criticized for being too focused on evangelism, too focused on salvation message. But it's impossible to be too focused on bringing people to Jesus. It's impossible. This is why we exist as a church. In many ways, as I've said so often, we exist for those who are not yet here. You say, well, what about us? What about the church? What about discipleship? Yes, someone described the church as a lighthouse for the lost and a greenhouse for the saved. A lighthouse for the lost and a greenhouse for the saved. So yes, we're going to grow together as believers, but God has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's you and me. So what we do as a church, whatever we do, whether it is worship and preaching services like this or events like the gift of Christmas, is coming up. Aren't you glad it's back? It's going to be back here in just a few weeks. I hope that you are inviting your friends. Get your tickets and buy one for someone else, or bring others with you. Bring people who need to know Jesus, and family members and friends and co-workers. And I'm so pleased our Prestonwood people just do this so well because you're already filling up these rows and filling up these seats, because you know it's going to be a big, bold, bodacious Texas thing. For those of you who don't live in Texas, it's this unbelievably beautiful, powerful presentation. It's better than Broadway. Nobody's going to Broadway anymore these days anyway. So you can come to Texas. And we do have people that come from everywhere to see the gift of Christmas, because we want to put Christ right in the center of the Christmas. But you know I'm going to get up at the close of all of the production, and I'm going to give a simple gospel message and invite people to trust in Jesus. And the way we've been doing it lately is to ask people just to simply hit their flashlight on their phone. Nearly everybody brings a phone in the room, and then put that flashlight on and hold it up. And when that happens, the place just lights up. 1, 2, 10, 20, 30 people coming to faith in Jesus. Why? That's what God has commanded us and called us to do. You know, as we get to this Christmas season, we're doing a lot of things. Back during 2020, we said, how can we get people, you know, coming back to church? Said, let's do something outside. Let's have a Christmas tree lighting. So we did it last December, the Wednesday after Thanksgiving. This year is December the 1st. We did it out in the parking lots, and it has been such a success with families coming to our property and experiencing this. Well, just to show you what it looks like, watch the screen. I want to show you what we're going to do on December the 1st.
It's never too early to think about Christmas. Make plans to join us for one of our most anticipated events, the Prestonwood Christmas Tree Lighting Festival. The festival will be on Wednesday, December 1st, from 5 to 8 p.m. at our Plano and North campuses. Besides the traditional countdown to the lighting of the beautiful Christmas tree at 6 p.m., your family will love photos with Santa, the snow hill and hay rides, inflatables, trains, and crazy games. Plus, Don't miss the opportunity to purchase tasty food from our great food truck options. And we'll serve up some free hot chocolate, popcorn, and candy. Learn more at prestonwood.org.
So why would we do this? I was just at a tree lighting event. Actually, I was at our high school football game last evening over at the Star. They had a tree lighting there, and it was fun. It was beautiful. And so why would we as a church do this? Well, you saw that cross on the tree, didn't you? Just a glimpse of it, because we want to lift up Christ. We want to get people on our campus and family and friends. And actually, last year, we cultivated more prospects, if you will, for Christ and the church during that event than any. That's why we do it. I did see there were some corn dogs going to be served, so that's a good thing, and lots of games to be played and lots of fun to be had and for kids of all ages. But why do we go to that effort and expense? Because we want people to be S-A-V-E-D, saved. And we use any means and method we can, never changing the message, but using various means and programs and all the things that we do to share Jesus now. I'm telling you, I love preaching the gospel of Christ. And I'm going to be preaching this salvation message as long as God gives me breath. It is the message to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So how can we participate in this? So that knowing that it's too good to keep, that we can share the gospel with others. Number one, pray for lost people. Pray with passion for people far from God. And that includes your religious friends who don't know Jesus. In those first four verses that we read, Paul is praying like he prayed in chapter 9, the first several verses, for his Jewish friends and family. He said, my heart's desire, my prayer, my passion is for Jewish people to be saved. He earlier said, chapter 9, verse 3, I'm willing to die and go to hell if my kinsmen, my countrymen, my family would come to Jesus. My Jewish family would receive Yeshua, the Messiah. That was his passion. That was his burden. And he carried that burden and that passion from prayer around the world to become the great missionary of the faith. But what Paul prayed, we ought to be praying. That God would give us this same kind of intense and intentional passion for souls, lost people, that it would be the longing of our hearts. Many of us have loved ones and family and friends who do not know Jesus. Some are far, far from God and far away from the things of God. They're living a life without the Lord. Others are church people or religious people who are also lost without God because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. That whole passage that we read there is about Jewish people who said, you know, they missed it because they rejected the real way to get right with God, which is to know Jesus. He came into his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. So Paul really is talking to his religious friends here. One of the things we have to remember is that many people who go to church or who have a religion don't have salvation. They've never been born again, because you're not saved by religious ceremony or ritual or praying more prayers or being baptized. You know, every believer will want to be baptized, but we're not saved by baptism, or we're not saved by taking communion or showing up at church. Everybody ought to go to church and everybody ought to receive communion who is a Christian, but none of these things save us. Our good deeds, our good works, there's a lot of good things that happen during the Christmas season. You know, people are giving away their money and giving away their time, and many think this is going to get them right with God in some way. But none of these things get you right with God. Only Jesus is the Savior of the world. And because the world needed a Savior, he sent his Son. And so do you know someone who needs to know Jesus? I'm certain that you do. And if you don't, you need to get out more. Because they're all around us, aren't they? Across the street. Across the office. Across town. Across the world. And there are ways that we can get to them, but we should pray. You say, what should I pray when I'm praying for lost people? Well, remember, this is a spiritual battle. And we fight this battle on our knees. People without Jesus are held captive by the enemy, by Satan himself. And sometimes I think we get angry with the very people that God loves. I know people who are lost do things that lost people do, and we don't like it. But lost people aren't the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And so the battle begins on our knees as we pray and take spiritual authority in the name of Jesus over all the works of the enemy, that we begin to ask God to open the hearts of unbelievers around us, that we would begin to ask that God would soften the hard hearts of people who seem to resist so much. And I'm asking you today, I'm encouraging you today, to have a prayer list of people who do not know Jesus and pray till they come to know him. Pray and ask God to open their hearts. Pray and ask God to send a witness. This is one reason we pray for missions, because we can't go somewhere around the world necessarily, but we can pray for missionaries who do and witnesses to show up. You could pray, maybe you've got a child that's far from God, lost without Christ, and you just can't seem to break the barrier. Start praying that God would send someone in their life that would introduce them to Jesus and help them to be saved. You see what I'm saying? This happens in prayer. Something supernatural happens when we pray. And then we get off our knees and up on our feet, and we go in Jesus' name. We put feet to our prayers, beautiful feet, the scripture says here, and we go in Jesus' name, and we share the good news. And that's the second point. And that is that if we believe that this is too good to keep, not only will we pray for lost people, but we will personally share the good news. And what is the good news? Look at it again. Verse 9 of Romans 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are, there it is again, saved. So how can a person be saved? How can you be saved? By believing in your heart. The heart is the you of you. It's speaking of the inner life. The part of you that was made to live forever. In your heart. To believe in your heart. Beyond emotional or intellectual assent or affirmation of a religion. But to believe in your heart. And confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. In fact, let's just all say that together. Jesus is Lord. On three. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. Again, Jesus is Lord. This is the message of salvation. That you would believe within, and that without, you would confess your personal faith in Jesus Christ, that you would make the good confession that Christ died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again, because it's the resurrection that makes the sacrifice, the cross, so powerful and so effective. If there had been no resurrection, the cross would have been meaningless. But believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that Christ is alive and that he lives and that he can live in you. That's salvation, to be forgiven of all of our sins, that Christ would live in us and that we would know that we're going to heaven. You can be for sure, for certain, forever that you are saved and going to heaven. It says later in chapter 10, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be what?
Saved.
In case you haven't gotten it yet, I'm trying to help you get saved and know that you're saved, and so that we together can help as many people as possible to get saved around us. That's okay, if you're going to do it, no golf claps. I want a cowboy wind clap, okay? All right. Yeah. No little polite golf claps for that. So personally share this. So here we have, we are to pray for lost people, and then we are to personally, proactively share the gospel with others. And the gospel is Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And maybe you're thinking right now, I'm so far away. I'm long gone. I'm lost as a ball in high weeds. What I need to do to be saved, I gotta climb some ladder. I gotta pay some penance. I've gotta pay some money. I gotta do something. No, the scripture says here in Romans chapter 10 that this is close. Look at chapter 10 when it says the message is very close at hand. This is verse 8. The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your hearts. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. So here's what's happening right now. I've been preaching the word of faith. I've been pouring out the message of salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I've been pouring out my faith and sharing my faith, and perhaps others have shared their faith with you. People have been pouring out. So we have preached this word of faith to you. So it is near you. It is close to you. It's in your mouth. You can taste it. You don't have to go on some pilgrimage to find God. You don't have to perform multiple religious rites that you can never achieve. So, you know, you don't even have to live this life. You think, I could never live a Christian life. Right, you can't, but he can through you if you will come to him. So I'm saying, listen to me. It's near you. It's close to you. It's in your mouth. All you got to do is say it. All you got to do is believe it and profess it. And it's personal and it's very public. This is why we give an open invitation for people to profess their faith in Jesus Christ every service and beyond every services. Because we want you to have the opportunity, whether you're watching online or right here in this room, to do what the Bible says, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and to come to him. One final thing. You know, the gospel is not good news unless it gets there on time. And so we give and we go and we share Jesus and we send missionaries because it's urgent. The times are urgent. So be prepared and promise to go anywhere to share Jesus now. That's the last point. Look again at verses 14. Let's just scan these a little bit. Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 14. How can they call on him to save them unless some they can believe on him? And if they, how can they believe if they've never heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Feet. Everybody loves their feet. I know we do because we buy really expensive shoes now to put on our feet. Remember the day when you just had maybe one pair of shoes? Now you got closets full of shoes. A lot of people do. And you know that tennis shoes today cost more than $25? Did you know that? If you want some really nice, you know, like really good shoe, tennis shoe, thank you. But we got all these shoes and, we got dress shoes and work shoes and boots. And so here the focus is on your feet, on the shoes. First on our knees in prayer, then up on our feet. Because how beautiful are the feet of the messengers of God. The word beautiful there means lovely, of course, but it also means lively. Lively feet. And we need to get our feet moving, whether it is across the street or across the seas, across the neighborhood or across to the nations. We need to get our feet moving because unless they hear, how can they be saved? We need to keep giving as generously as we can because how can they believe if and be saved if we do not tell them, if we do not send those missionaries, if we do not invest in those mission opportunities, if we don't go and we don't pray and we don't send, how can they be saved? So ask God, pray and ask God for a passion for people who don't know the Lord everywhere. Personally, share the message of salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then prepare yourself to go anywhere and everywhere. Some of you, there's some young men, maybe some older guys, that God is calling you to preach the gospel. To lay aside your career plans and your career path and to hear the call to go and preach the gospel. Others to go to a mission field. It's thrilling when God raises up missionaries out of Prestonwood people. And I know God has called every one of us. You know, preaching is not just doing what I do. It's sharing Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. So be prepared. I asked you last week, what risk are you willing, if Paul could say, I'm willing to die and go to hell so that people could be saved, my family, my friends. What personal risk are we willing to take to get people to Jesus so that they can be saved? Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, all of us praying together? Some of you don't know for sure that you are saved, that you're going to heaven. You don't know. You may be religious, you may be non-religious. You may be fed up with religion. In fact, I hope you are fed up with religion. So many people need to give up their religion and get into Jesus. So if you're tired of religion and you want to know God and be right with God or have a right relationship with God so that you will go to heaven and so that your sins will be forgiven and so that Christ will live in your life, then respond in your heart to what the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I've preached faith into you today. It's near you. It's in your mouth. So say yes. Do you know that you're saved? These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Everyone can know that they're saved. If you don't know, now's the time. How many of you would say, Pastor? I'm not certain. I'm not sure. I don't know, but I want to know. I need to know. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be. Pray for me. Pray for me. Now, I'm going to look all over the building. Everybody else has got their heads bowed, so this is between you and the Lord, and you're going to let me in on this as well. But I want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I would never embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. So if you would say, Jack, pray for me. I need to know that I'm saved. Would you hold up your hand right now so I can do that? Just hold up your hand. God bless you and you and you and you. And upstairs, I can see clearly in the balcony. So I'm seeing that hand there. Yes. Are there others? Just hold up your hand. Hold it up for just a second to make sure I can see you. I know God sees you. He sees that hand. Yes, sir. Anyone else? And online, you can do that. You can just hold up a hand. In fact, you may even see on the screen a hand. If you see that, click it. A hand held up. Or just hold up your hand right where you are. And now I want you to take that hand that you've been lifting, and I want you to put it on your heart, please. Just put your hand over your heart. In fact, I'd like for everyone in the room and everyone viewing this right now, just go ahead and put your hand, because we're going to join together and pray for the hearts of people that they would be saved. Put your hand over your heart, and especially you, have your hand over your heart. Pray this prayer if you need to know Jesus. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me, dying on the cross. I believe you rose again. I confess that you are Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say it. Jesus, you are Lord. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Live in me. And when I die, or you come again, take me home to be with you forever. That's what it means to be saved. Saved or lost, you can be saved now. And if you're praying that prayer, thank you, Lord. Say it, thank you, Lord, for loving me and giving me this eternal life and this salvation. And give me the courage to profess my faith openly and publicly today. Give me the faith to follow you. Help now, Lord, these who are calling on your name to believe and receive what you have promised and given. Thank you for those who brought friends and those who invited friends and those who have encouraged and prayed, even praying through this message and on through this invitation. Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you for your church with a heart to see the salvation of souls. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.